today. As I mentioned, I just returned from Israel last week, and I experienced a lot of interesting things, a lot of profound things. It was a very meaningful trip. One of the interesting things I want to share with you as in terms of a shiur, in terms of learning together, was an interesting topic that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I was aware of the general topic, but I didn't know that this happened. So I'll tell you what happened. Some of the places I visited included Shaar Tzedek Medical Center. I visited a few hospitals, actually at Hadassah Hospital. And I know this is at Rambam also in Haifa. They showed me their underground units that they've built, bomb shelters for patients, because they have to now plan for every contingency and also being bombed while they're trying to take care of patients. So it's really an interesting, wild experience. I also visited the Shura Army Base, where I was also reminded of, during COVID, when we had two trucks full of corpses here at the hospital of overflow from COVID. When I visited that army base, that's the army base where they identify the dead bodies. At that army base, they had 10 trucks full of bodies still waiting to be identified. It's just really overwhelming. And it just helps you experience the magnitude of what happened. When I visited Shaar Tzedek, I visited Dr. Avram Steinberg, who's the head of ethics there and one of the leading world, Jewish medical ethicists in the world, and Rav Asher Weiss, who is their posek, the official rabbi and religious decisor of Shaar Tzedek Medical Center. Actually, both of them have spoken here at Cedar Sinai numerous times, and in fact, in this very room. And they told me about an issue that has come up there at Shaar Tzedek that I just found really interesting, and so I wanted to share it with you, because then they also told me what they did about it. Here's what happened. After October 7th, which, as it's now a month ago, the nurses at Shaar Tzedek, 200 nurses, wrote a petition to their CEO. So just imagine that. Put yourself either in the nurses' shoes or in the CEO's shoes. And they said, "We refuse to treat terrorists. We will not treat anyone who's a terrorist if they're in our hospital." And there were. There already were at that time, and they knew that likely more would come. So the CEO gets this petition, and 200 nurses is a lot. Even at Cedars-Sinai, that would be a lot of nurses, but Shaar Tzedek is a smaller hospital. It's half the size. And 200 full-time nurses are saying, "We refuse to treat terrorists." So the hospital, being that it is an Orthodox hospital, even though, of course, they treat everyone there, but the first thing they did was they asked their rabbi and their head of ethics, Rabbi Steinberg and Rav Asher Weiss, "What do we do? First of all, are they right in saying that they refuse to treat terrorists? Or are they wrong?" I'm curious. Anyone have opinions? We actually have a lot of nurses here, but everyone's allowed to have their opinion. Anyone have an initial reaction to that? Do you agree with those nurses? Would you take a different approach? You don't have to. You can share your thoughts throughout our conversation. But
I'd like to hear what the rabbis say. However,
I will tell you.
I want to add something to it. Someone comes in, he's a terrorist, he's a Hamas terrorist, he's somebody who says, "You know what, go ahead and treat me, because as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to kill you."
Okay, well, that's part of what we're going to talk about, actually.
Okay, so then what do you do?
I wouldn't. We're assuming right now, just so you know, these terrorists in the hospital are handcuffed to the bed with security watching them. But I hear, we're going to talk about that.
I mean, as an ERS, not on the same scale, not as a person, but we do that. We treat people that have been brought in, molested children, committed crimes, whatever. I know I've taken care of patients that I found what they are accused of doing reprehensible, and I'm still a professional, and I do that because it's just kind of what we do,
right?
In terms of our oath of ethics and stuff, and also maybe this terrorist will have intelligence that we nurse him back to health. Maybe the police will be able to get something out of that person that can stop future crimes.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So, but you're saying that your protocol in the emergency room is that, of course, does it matter? What if, God forbid, what that person had done, the evil thing they had done, was to, like, a family member of yours?
If it was to a direct, so it's interesting because, like, we're all family, right? So that's
right.
That feeling there. If it's a direct family member, we have conflicts of interest, right? So, generally, if we can, at least for me, I've recused myself of care of people that I've had very close relationships where I can be objective. Sometimes you don't have that.
Right. So you're saying you would maybe ask someone else to care for them, but what happens when you're in a country where 1,400 people just got murdered, and it's like, who are you going to, okay.
Are nurses bound by the code of Maimonides that physicians are bound to treat their enemy?
Well, in general, yes. Nurses have to follow.
By the
Yeah. Yes.
I think the question really is, would you treat the hijackers from 9/11 if they came into your hospital? I think that's kind of a good...
Well, you mean like if they survived afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good parallel. Like, right then and
there. That's a parallel.
Would you treat them?
Yeah. So this question has come up. Yes?
I just want to add one other thing. There have been in the past terrorists that were treated. I know this. And there are also children of terrorists or people who believe in terrorism that are happy that they're treated and saying, I can't wait for my child to go out and be a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
That's been done. And also, I wonder if the Den of Rodave comes in.
Good.
And I think the Den of Rodave comes in. Rodave is a little stronger.
Yeah.
You've got to kill someone who's going to kill you.
Right, good. So let's go there first, and I'll explain what you just said, because that was a good point. So the issue, we're going to step away from October 7th for a minute, the current issue, because it might have unique aspects to it. And let's just go into more general, because like you mentioned, 9/11, or just other things, or you mentioned molester or something. Let's go more generally, because rabbis have discussed the issue of medical professionals caring for terrorists in the past. And a number of them have argued... On all sides, you've had, of course, all opinions. There has been an extreme view, which was that you're not required to care for them. Some of the rabbis have said not to. In fact, some of the rabbis that opined on this even said you should, like, finish them off, basically. Like, you're not required to help them. You're required to hurt them. Of course, this is very complicated because at what point is the medical staff, judge, and jury, I mean, are you certain what they've done? And, like, obviously, talking about an American law context, I mean, should we say someone should lose their job or potentially go to jail? That's different. But totally theoretically, Rav Aviner in Israel wrote a response on this where he argued that you are not required to care for a terrorist, and in fact, you're not required to help them because of the law of Rodef. Rodef is that in Jewish law, if someone is coming to hurt you, you have to get up and hurt them first. Normally, we're not supposed to kill people in Judaism, right? But haba lahargecha, hashkein vahargo. Someone comes up to kill you, you have to prevent them. If you can prevent them without killing them, that's great. But if you have to kill them, you're actually allowed to kill them. And Rav Aviner argued that since this person, first of all, they are, for what they've done by killing people, they are chayav misa, they are guilty of a capital offense. And we're supposed to be able to stop them. And how is it Rodef, though? Because if they're currently being handcuffed to a bed, surrounded by security, are they really chasing you to kill you? So he argued that it is. He gave two reasons. Reason number one, as he said, is because this person, their desire is to kill you. And you know that they want to kill you. And he says, as long as they have the chance to kill you, they will. So maybe right now, while they're being supervised and handcuffed, they're not going to do it. But as soon as they can in the future, they will. The other argument he gave is that the law of Rodef is supposed to be a deterrent. That if I know someone's going to kill me, if I do something, I won't do it. So he said, so too, we still have that deterrent, and so we're supposed to still try to stop people, even if they currently can't do it. We have to rise up against them to prevent them from doing it again in the future and to scare them from not wanting to do it in the first place. So that was one opinion. There was a few rabbis that came out with opinions like that in the past. I'm not talking about in the current situation. But that has been... There was also... I found a response from Rav Ben Tzion Mutzafi. Have you ever heard of him? Ben Tzion Mutzafi is a Sephardi Haredi rabbi in Israel. He said the same thing. Rav Eliyahu said the same thing. Where their argument... They responded because some rabbis came out and said, whoa, 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 you can't go that far. That's unethical. You can't say that you have to kill a patient. And Rav Mutzafi argued, do you know that the Talmud says this line, Hamerachem al achzarim, if you're compassionate to those who are cruel, sofol yisachzer al atzadikim, you'll eventually be cruel to those who are righteous. So it's nice to be compassionate, but if you're compassionate to evil people, you're going to end up being cruel to those who are good. And so they argued that that you should not. You should not treat them. In fact, if possible, you might even hurt them. There was one other approach, and then we're going to get back to Shari Tzedek, and we'll conclude in just a second. I'll tell you what they said there, and I want to hear your thoughts. One other approach that was maybe a little bit of a compromise is Rav Melamed. Rav Melamed said that, I'll read you what he said, in fact. He said, when it comes to a mechabel, a terrorist, we have the concept of, I already mentioned Rodef, someone who's chasing you. There's a concept of Moridim velo malim. Someone who is a murderer, there's a concept of you can let someone fall into a pit, but you don't have to take them out. Which means that sometimes you let someone die, and you don't save them if they are someone who is guilty of a capital offense. So his approach is sort of like, I'm not saying you should kill the patient, but maybe you shouldn't help them and you should allow them to die. That was kind of a middle approach that's still pretty harsh and could probably get you into a lot of trouble in American law, but you could also see where he's coming from because he recognizes how evil the person is and what they're doing, how evil it is, and therefore, why should we save them? But then this leads to one other compromise approach, and then let's talk about what's happening right now. The other issue is, what about if it's triage? Meaning, fine, we just said that some rabbis said not to treat these patients. Other rabbis said you should. The basic conclusion is we follow international law, and the reality is a healthcare professional in Israel, anywhere, will have to treat such a patient. I mean, that unless you want to get into a lot of trouble. But we're just talking right now, we're talking about on the theoretical halachic Jewish law basis. But in reality, you have to treat them. But what about if it's a triage case? Meaning, let's say you have a terrorist does something, and a whole group of people are brought in. The evil terrorists and their victims. They all survive and they all show up at the hospital at the same time. Do you give precedence to the victims? Or do you say, you know what? We only go based on medical criteria. Whoever is the sickest, whoever is in the most need of our help right now, that's who we treat. And we don't distinguish between the perpetrator and the victims. What would you say when it's a triage case? Well, both. We were talking halacha, but I'm curious either way. Yes. Right. In your opinion, you're saying you would put the terrorists in the bottom of the list.
If you're not actively killing them,
right.
You're just
going to
treat everyone else first.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes.
You have to treat the sickest guy first. I mean, all the time I see police and the victim of the, like, they...
Right.
But how would I feel? I don't feel like maybe this guy who tried to kill the police officer by shooting at him and missed and he got shot back. Depending on how you feel once we are
right. You're saying there's how you feel and what you do. And you work in the emergency room, right? Yeah. Right,
what
as you do.
You only have the ability to treat one patient.
That's
right.
But I'm saying, like,
if they were equally critical, then would you treat the victim first?
Critical when you only had like one.
Yeah.
Only doctor, one nurse.
Right. But otherwise, you go only based on medical criteria, you're saying, not based on... Yeah. So, interestingly, in Israel, what they do now is that in triage decisions, they take into account, they do prioritize the victims over the terrorist, but only if the victim is pekuach nefesh or suffek pekuach nefesh, meaning if they are likely going to die or they might, maybe even possibly they might die, then that victim goes first. But if... Like the example you gave, the victim is more stable and the perpetrator is not, then they do treat the terrorist first if the victim is stable. But if it's a suffek pekuach nefesh situation, then they actually would prioritize the victim first. That's the way it works in Israel. And that's the way a lot of the rabbis, even those who said, you know, you have to treat the terrorists. You can't just let them die. You can't kill them, of course. But a lot of them said, but when it comes to triage, maybe we should prioritize the victim. But again, only if it's in a case where it's because it's to save their life, but not if it's just a minor injury. Okay, let's now go to conclude now to the situation in Israel right now. What did Rav Asher Weiss and Dr. Steinberg say? Again, the case was 200 nurses signed a petition, sent it to the CEO at Shari Tzedek, and said, we are not willing to treat terrorists. And of course, they do care what the rabbis say, and if the rabbi has a different opinion, then they'll share that opinion, and we'll see if it works. Anyone want to guess? I'll just tell you this much. Rav Asher Weiss and Dr. Steinberg, the two of them agreed. They had the same opinion. What do you think their opinion was? Must they treat the terrorists, or were they allowed to say, I will not treat them?
I think they allowed
them
to say, I will not.
You seem allowed to say no? Anyone else?
They said to treat.
Yeah. They said you have to treat them. Here's the reasons they gave. I thought the reasons were fascinating. They said you have to treat the terrorists, like all your patients. You have to take care of them. The reason Rav Asher Weiss gave, he was first. First of all, just in general, even before I go to his reason, it was mentioned already before, there is a very dangerous slippery slope once we start deciding which patients we want to care for and which ones we don't. I mean, who put us in charge of deciding which patients' lives are more valuable? Once we start doing that, it could get very risky. Imagine someone choosing patients based on their political beliefs, you know, or during COVID, you know, you heard people saying like, well, should we prioritize someone who was vaccinated or not, you know, or who wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask? Like, should we make those decisions to prioritize some people? Like, it's just very risky once you start prioritizing in general. We have a system, a healthcare system, and we have a court system. And the courts have their role, and the police have their role, and the hospital has our role. So that's one thing. But Rav Asher Weiss said a different reason. He said, you have to treat them because we live in a world where communication spreads very rapidly. How is it going to look? Right now, Israel, I think it's clear, has the moral high ground. I mean, we were attacked by vicious terrorists. Innocent civilians were attacked most viciously. And the world recognizes that we have to respond, and we have to protect our civilians. If they start seeing Israelis as being people who do similar things, even though it's not the same, I know it's not the same, but they start, you know, abusing terrorists in their hospitals, they will risk losing support. And international support for Israel, even though there's a lot of unfortunate anti-Semitism and critique of Israel, there is also a lot of support. And that support is important because it enables Israel to do what they need to do militarily because they have some world support. So he was afraid if we start not taking care of terrorists, we might lose international support and then we can't finish the operation that we're trying to do, which will hopefully ensure the security of the whole state of Israel. That was his argument. Dr. Steinberg added to that because he had to then have a meeting with all these. They had a Zoom meeting with all these nurses because you can't force them, right? Can you force someone to treat them? If the CEO says, sorry, we don't accept your petition. So they could just say, well, too bad. We're not going to treat them. Like they had to also kind of be convinced and talk and spoken to. So Dr. Steinberg said, you know, there's a couple additional reasons. There's two additional reasons. And it was kind of mentioned before. Number one, what's unique here in this situation that we're in right now is that they have 250 or so Israeli Jewish hostages. And we have to take into account what might happen to our hostages in Gaza right now if they find out that their people in Israeli hospitals are being mistreated. And might they then, who knows what they're doing right now to the people in who are hostages. It might be that they're being treating them okay in Gaza because they need to use them as bargaining chips. And they want to keep them alive so they can use them. So maybe they're being treated okay. I mean, we've heard horrible stories about things happening to some of them. But let's say they're being treated okay. And then they find out, oh, our patients in Israeli hospitals are being tortured. Maybe we need to teach them a lesson and torture the Israelis that we have access to who are currently being held hostage. So Rabbi Steinberg was concerned, if we don't treat them well, we have an additional concern about our hostages. Not to mention a possibly even bigger issue that started to become relevant as they treated these patients and found out that they were giving a lot of intelligence information. And much of the Israeli operation in Gaza is being based on the intelligence that they are hearing from these captured terrorists. So now keeping them alive could actually help the war effort. Because you keep them alive and then you get information from them and you use that information to then eliminate the rest of the terrorist apparatus. So he argued there's a strategic reason to keep them alive. It's obviously a basic reason of basic morality in terms of we don't act the way they acted. They tortured us. We don't act that way. We want to be better than them. We want to have basic human decency and dignity even to the terrorists. And there is the concern, Rav Asher Weiss mentioned, of Mishum Eva, of we don't want them to hate us, and how that might impact us. But there are these additional, like, strategic concerns that are also relevant. So he had a Zoom with the nurses. They told them, look, here's the reasons why. It's important for Israeli security that you treat these patients. And the nurses said, okay, you convinced us. We will care for these patients. But do we have to give them pain medication? That was their next question. Well, keep them alive, but do we have to be nice to them? Do we have to give them pain medication? Do we have to treat them well or just keep them alive so we can achieve these goals? And that's enough. What do you think Dr. Steinberg responded? He had to just think on the moment for that response. Like he didn't have time to research that. He had to respond to them. What do you say? Yes. Yes. Because it was the same reason. Think about it. He said, look, communication happens instantaneously, internationally, and imagine they see we're keeping them alive, but we're torturing them, basically. That also will get at the same reasons, right? You can't just torture people. So the conclusion was to treat them well. You know, actually, Dr. Steinberg told me that it's always been the protocol in Israel that they treat terrorists, that they take care. Of course, the one exception we mentioned was if there's a triage case and the victim's life could be saved, then we prioritize the victim. But in general, we treat terrorists, we treat everyone. The goal of the hospital is not to pick and choose patients, it's to treat every patient and take care of all people. There, he once wrote an article about that, and he thought, you know, we should publicize this. Like, this is kind of a nice thing that we do this in our hospital. Like, the world should know that we care for them. And they didn't publish it. They didn't want to publish it. They had to, like, put pressure on and, like, change things about it. And, like, people, because people thought it made Israel look good, so these international journals didn't want to publish it, which is so disappointing. But eventually they did get it published. And it is true. Like, we should feel pride in having the moral high ground. I think there is value to that. Yeah. Right, that's interesting. So, Rev, your question is, what if we treat them well and then they become less of a terror? Like, they'll change their perspective. And you would hope so. I mean, the head of Hamas received treatment in Israeli hospitals and he still did what they did. But maybe there is. I mean, that, you know, it's fascinating what you said that, because one of the reasons for Jewish hospitals in America was because there was so much anti-Semitism, and Jews thought when they built these hospitals and they had to decide, should we let everyone in Jewish hospitals? Should they be open to everyone or just Jews? And one of the reasons why they said it should be open to everyone is because they thought maybe that will reduce anti-Semitism. They'll see, like, look, we're nice. We welcome them and we treat all of them. I don't know if it worked or not. And also, I mean, Rav Aviner's concern is they're committed terrorists. As soon as they get better, even if they pretend to like us, they're going to come back and attack us. But maybe, I mean, I like your thinking, though. At least, like, let's just try to hope that, you know, hopefully they will be inclined not to hurt us again, and hopefully they won't be let up back out on the street to hurt us again. But I hear what you're saying. Like, maybe that's one consideration. But at the end of the day, that was what they said, that we should treat them, and we have a lot of reasons to. Some of them are somewhat, I guess you could say, selfish motives, because it helps us. But at the bottom line, it was like, it's the right thing to do. And even when we are at our most difficult times, when we've been attacked and tortured and harmed so horrifically, we have to maintain our dignity and our moral high ground and do the right thing, as complicated, difficult as it is. And I can understand why people would want to have sort of vengeance and punish people who are evil but we have to try to recognize, you know, our role as healthcare providers. And as complicated as it is, there is this basic morality to that. Yes.